As today, I'm honored to be joined by ESPN columnist, radio host, TV personality, Sarah Spain. Sarah, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me. Welcome to the NBA panel. It's great to have you on. So how are things going with you?
You know what? I'm trying to keep up with all the changes in sports. There's so much like institutional knowledge that comes with working in this industry for a couple years. And this year, that's all kind of out the window because everything's starting at different times and different number of games. So just trying to keep up.
Right. And we have one of the quickest turnarounds in NBA. Well, the quickest turnaround in NBA history. But the season started in the 22nd. Can't wait, though. Definitely can't wait. So how are you handling things during this pandemic? I mean, we have everybody going remote now. I can't be in the studio as much.
Yeah, I, for the most part, have been really lucky. I mostly did my radio and podcast from home already, pre-pandemic.
Okay.
And then we were able to do Around the Horn and Highly Questionable for 7 months or so from home. And they just got us back into studios a month or two ago with safety precautions. But yeah, I mean, compared to the average person who was used to going into an office every day, it wasn't as big of a difference for me. And then also, you know, I don't have kids, which, you know, is just remarkable when I think about people trying to balance everything right now with kids that aren't in school and work from home and everything else. So I'm doing all right. I'm trying to stay positive. I think a massive part of life is just the attitude you have towards things. And if you're grateful for the things that you have, instead of constantly thinking about what's gone wrong or what you don't have, I think it tends to make you much happier.
Yeah. Believe positive things are coming to reality for you.
That's right.
Believe in that. So I love highlighting positive things. The things you went over at Here's the Cheers Fund is phenomenal and great. Can you tell us about that?
Thank you. Yeah, so actually Julie Foudy, one of my colleagues, the soccer legend, messaged years ago and suggested that any of her colleagues that had daughters work with them on a project that she was calling Choose to Matter. Her daughter came to her and wanted to donate her old Barbies and said, she thought about giving them to kids that didn't have as much. And it kind of triggered something in her that you don't have to have millions of dollars to make a difference in the community around you. I don't have any kids, so I reached out to a girl that I've been sort of mentoring who wanted to maybe get into sports later in life. She was in sixth grade at the time, and she had hearing difficulties in one ear and wore a hearing aid. And so she suggested, and I didn't know this, that most hearing aids are not covered by insurance, which is just wild. So we started that seven or eight years ago now. Now she's a sophomore at Ole Miss. And we raised funds to help give hearing aids and equipment to kids in the Chicago and Geneva County areas so they can keep playing sports and hear their coaches and classmates. And I've really learned a lot about how difficult it can be for families to find out. It's a, you know, sometimes $4,000 expense per ear that they can't pay with insurance. So it's really nice to be able to help.
Yes, definitely. And great job once again.
Thank you.
Tell us about the time at ESPN. So you found a great home over there. You're doing great.
I have. Thank you. Yeah. It's funny. They had us make these videos for Thanksgiving, just saying, you know, anything we're thankful for in life. And I had to say, I just done a great show and it put me in such a good mood. And I thought to myself how lucky I am that I go to work. And even if I'm in a cranky mood, I leave work happier and in a better mood because I really like the people that I work with. It's a lot of fun. I've been super lucky to get to ESPN and to be, and also it feels weird to be as old as I am now so that I could say I've been at ESPN for over a decade. I just did an interview with a college kid who interviewed me for class, and he was like, I've been watching you on Around the Horn for like my whole life. And I was like, okay, it hasn't been that long. I've only been on the show for a couple years. But it's awesome. And it's such a great place to work. And I think really one of my favorite things is that I work with so many smart, funny people, and they really are just like fun to be around and to mess with and have, you know, crack jokes with. So
yes, you do. And your experience Around the Horn, how's that been? Because I've had Bob Ryan on a few, like, five times.
Yeah.
And Woody Paige has been on the NBA panel also. And both of guys are full with intelligence, and they're both are witty. And they're just so fast with it. How's it working both of them?
Well, I think that that's why I like that show so much. You nailed it. It's about what you know and imparting knowledge and analyzing. Right. But it's also about trash talking and being witty and quick and taking shots at each other in a fun and playful way while you're getting that information across. Right. I love working with those guys. And it's always wild to me that I remember watching them coming up, and now I'm
yes.
in one of those boxes talking to them. It's kind of like crazy. I'm like, oh my gosh, people out there see me the way I used to see them.
Yes.
Honestly, that show is all about Reale. Tony Reale, the host, it makes it a family, knows
right.
everybody's strengths, really brings out the best in people, sets them
right.
up to be great, but also has that same kind of winking sarcasm that we all become like playful and messing with each other, when we get muted or when we say some word we're not supposed to, that
right.
we've decided to ban like narrative. So it's a really fun show.
Right. I saw an argument you and Bob got into over candy. I got to agree with Bob. I love Reese Cups. Anyone that knows me, that's my favorite candy.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are great. I am a big Snickers fan, though, and I do feel like there was some slander towards, what we consider a bar and what we consider candy. Of course,
okay.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are a fantastic candy. I just don't see
right.
them as a bar. It's a cup. It goes right in the name. Whereas a Snickers bar is a bar. Also, update from that argument, Bob Ryan has now actually had a Twix. So, he's at least
okay.
a little more knowledgeable about the topic, and he did enjoy his Twix and said he would have another.
Okay. I always love talking to Bob, always. Always a great interview with him. What would you say is the biggest motivation throughout your career? Is there a certain person, or just you just buckle down and I'm gonna do this?
That's tough. I would say probably like it just in general, my approach to work and life is based probably on my parents. Super hardworking,
okay.
and they have their own business. They have a law practice together. That
okay.
I think made
Great.
Me growing up realize like they worked really hard,
right.
but they were also their own boss. And it afforded them the ability to make decisions about when they would stay late and when they would maybe take off and be able to come see me or my sister play sports or music or whatever.
Okay.
And so I think that kind of informed my idea of I wanted to work really hard and do something I cared about, but I also
okay.
didn't want to be able to tell you on Tuesday, 4 months from now, I know that I'll be at this desk at this time because I'm always
okay.
there, 9 to 5 every day. So I think it really motivated me to want to do a job that I loved. And then I grew up like always wanting to be a performer, still want to be on Saturday Night Live. That's the dream job. And so
okay.
sort of I took a circuitous route of looking into comedy and acting and then taking my sports background and then improv comedy. And it sort of ended me up where
right.
I am now, which is a great like mesh of all that stuff.
Right.
But I think my parents just we're not a lazy family. We're always on the go. We're always doing something. And so I think if I was going to spend my time doing something growing up when I had band, chorus, field hockey, basketball, track, like if I was going to do all that stuff, I wouldn't
okay.
want to waste my time half-assing anything. So I kind of,
right.
I go full bore with whatever I'm doing.
I see. What was your favorite sport playing growing up? Or was all like equal?
Yeah, it kind of depended on the season. Like I think basketball was my favorite. It was happening at the same time as those 90s Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan.
Okay.
So it felt like there was this parallel of like watching this greatness and like wanting to stay after practice and,
right.
work on my fadeaway baseline jumpers. But I mean,
right.
track was really cool in that it's numbers. So, there was some drama with my high school basketball team. We had a different coach every year and
okay.
I played AAU with another girl nationally and that was great. But then her dad was kind of a little bit involved with the team in a way that wasn't productive. And so with track, you just run, jump, throw, and the number is there and there's no argument. You did it or you didn't. Whereas basketball, it's playing time. And was that person passing or not? And
okay.
was it a functioning offense? And so
right.
It was cool for track, especially for recruiting, because I got recruited for all of them, to be able to just put out the numbers and say, this is what I did.
Okay. Off the top of your head, what do you think is the biggest thing experience has taught you? If you could think of off the top of your mind.
The biggest thing I've learned from just my experiences?
Yeah.
Oof, gosh, there's so many. I'm someone who's very self-reflective and constantly wanting to be a better person and figure out like, how I can change and evolve. So
okay.
I'm always kind of paying attention to that. I mean, one of the biggest things that I've kind of figured out over the course of my, especially the last, 10 or 15 years where my career
uh-huh.
has really taken off and I got married and I've settled in, to this family and group of friends
right.
that I love, is just that what you put out there is so often what you get back. And so
right.
my happiness makes me want others to be happy. So I, when I'm succeeding, I want the people around me to succeed, and I want to lift them up, and I want to tell, you know, younger people how to make it in the career, and I want my friends to be great. And I think people who are nasty, who talk behind other people's backs, or who don't want others to succeed, that reveals their own, you know, sadness or
right,
lack of satisfaction
right.
with themselves. And so then
right.
instead of being mad at those people like I used to be, more often I kind of empathize or pity them and want them to find a way out of the situation that's making them unhappy, because
right.
I don't think happy people are like that to others. And I think that's amplified by my being on social media so much. Like, you do get a lot of people who are just really cruel and angry.
Yeah.
And so I've had to learn how to interact with that and realize that so many of them are probably just not happy and satisfied. And so they just want to lash out. And I really don't do that. Not that I
right.
did that a lot before, but I think it's immature, and it's also like reveals your own insecurities when you take shots at other people, or you don't want other people to be lifted up.
Yeah. Social media gives a voice to everyone, and everyone doesn't deserve one. Cause some people get on social
yeah.
media, like you said, they be mean, they say negative things, or they just log on to find someone being positive and like break them down, which is not cool at all.
Yeah. Agreed.
So these podcasts you're doing, that's what she said. Spain and Fitz. Tell us about that.
Well, Spain and Fitz is on weeknights on ESPN National Radio, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. My co-host, Jason Fitz, fascinating, awesome dude who was a musician for most of his life, was at Juilliard when he was 11 or 12 and was in the country band, the band Perry, for years, and
right.
multi-Grammy nominee, and just a really fascinating dude with the background in music, and then is also obviously transitioned over to the sports
right.
world. So we have a ton of fun. And we're not really like hot take experts. Let's do the Mount Rushmore of running backs kind of like radio.
Right, right.
That stuff that you always hear. We're more into in-depth conversations and analysis that isn't mostly based on hypotheticals, which
right.
I really enjoy that his approach is similar to mine. And then That's What She Said is a podcast that comes out every Tuesday. And I literally have anyone on that I find interesting. It's not even limited
okay.
to sports. I'll have neuroscientists,
okay.
Saturday Night Live cast members, musicians, authors, anybody that you can imagine. Basically anyone that I find interesting, I
right.
reach out to and have what I think are really interesting conversations that, you know, educate you and entertain you and help you learn
right.
a lot. And I really go through people's life for the most part.
Yeah.
I like to find out where they came from, how they grew up, how they became successful. And what's been really interesting for me to learn, especially as someone who is kind of like a type A overachiever all my life, is
right.
to be reminded of how many different ways you can find success and figure out your talents. And if I were someone listening growing up, I think it would be really useful to be reminded of, like, it's not always get good grades, go to a good school, do X and Y. Like, there's so many ways to figure out what you're going to do.
Right. I like the thought process. Most of it was
yeah.
going phenomenal. Most of it was going
Thanks.
Phenomenal. You've interviewed a lot of people. Can you think of one interview you did that's like, okay, I have this person on right now, and you said that you didn't think you might be able to interview? I know. Being a host, you understand you can get anybody on your show, but you understand what I mean? Like, wow, I really have this person on right now. Because I know
yeah.
when I first got Bob Ryan on, I was like,
yeah.
wow. I thought this guy on TV all the time, and I'm about to talk to him. But we've gradually.
Yeah, there's a couple of those. You know, I've had the opportunity to interview Charles Barkley a few times to
okay.
the point where he's not like a friend. Like the other day,
right.
he just texted me out of the blue to see how I was doing
okay.
and hanging in there. So, like, that's pretty crazy for me, especially, like I said, from growing up being a massive NBA fan to just be, like,
right.
friends with this Hall of Famer.
right.
And then I recently had on Glennon Doyle, who's an author whose book has been, like, number one for the last 8 or 9 months, and she's just a massive influence right now, and I was
okay.
you know, fascinated to talk to her. Anytime I get a Saturday Night Live character on, cast member,
okay.
like Kenan Thompson came on, he's been on that show forever.
Right.
Mike Schur, who created Parks and Rec and Brooklyn Nine-Nine and The Good Place and wrote for The Office and Saturday Night Live, like, I've had him on the podcast twice, and he's fascinating to talk to, especially because he's in that world that I so wanted to be a part of comedy.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, then there's just weird ones. We had Carmen Electra on during The Last Dance to talk about
okay.
like, her years dating Dennis
okay.
Rodman, and she's telling us how
yeah.
he's driving the wrong way down the freeway to try to show off. So, like, those I'm kind of like, what's happening? Like, what a weird world. They're like,
Right.
Robert Smigel I had on, who's Triumph the Insult comic dog. And so it's like these things that like I have this connection to in life, or like when I was just an average person like watching TV as a kid, and now, you know, I'm talking to them about it. So it happens a lot. It happens a lot where like I kind of have to remind myself like, wow, this is your job. You get to pick the brains of all these great people.
One thing I can say that I know you're doing a phenomenal job, because a show that has range, we have different personalities on it. That's not just not NBA, maybe an actor, maybe a coach, analysis. I mean, you have to have range. And if you handle those ranges, you're doing a great job.
Thank you. Yeah. And it keeps me from getting too one note. As much as I love sports, I do find it takes up so much of my time staying informed and knowing all the stats and facts and trades and information that I don't have as much time as I used to do, you know, all the other stuff that I find, music and poetry and literature and stuff. So the podcast gives me a chance to kind of scratch that itch sometimes.
Right. And as we said a little bit earlier, NBA is returning soon. And we just got broken in with some bad news. Klay is down again. I feel so bad for Klay. I mean, I was one of the people that was looking forward to seeing the Warriors basically at full strength again to see if they'll make a run without Kevin Durant again. And now Klay's out again. When they just pick up Oubre, he's going to be a good fill-in, but you know, he's not Klay. Klay is a defensive beast and offensive beast at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I think Oubre is a good pickup for them. He's clearly not going to be a shooter like Klay. Nobody really is. But he's a good two-way player, and he's actually stronger in a couple categories than Klay was. I also think it's interesting to add a guy who wasn't part of that dynastic run, so he's super hungry to be a part of a winning team and to be contending. And also a guy who's on an expiring deal. So, like, he's going to want to prove himself if he likes it there, that he's a fit there. I'm torn. I think a lot of people are a little bit more negative about the chances for the Warriors to contend. I think that we're kind of prisoner of the moment, trapped where we haven't seen them do their best in so long. Yeah. So we're kind of forgetting how great they can be. But we also have new pieces and we don't know how that's going to work. We've got Wiggins, we've got Wiseman, Steph when he's back healthy again. Like, I think there's a new look to this team, and it's going to take a little time for us to figure out what they really are. So I'm certainly not like those who are already sort of casting them off as not going to be a playoff team.
Yeah. I'm still Steve Kerr. He's doing a good job since he's been there.
Agreed.
What do you think about the news of Gordon Hayward opting out of, what, $34 million?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I could see why he does. He did it. I mean, his time in with the Celtics hasn't been smooth. But, I mean, he came in, got injured first game, and he's been injured all throughout. So they haven't had a huge sample size with him on the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought $34 million, that's a lot of money, man.
I agree. That's exactly what I said today when someone said, are you surprised or is this a good move to opt out of this? And I said, I don't even think it's about presuming that there are any other teams who will hit that number. I think it's about wanting a fresh start. You know, the injuries, the disappointments, not performing up to the expectations he or that team had. Like sometimes you just want to be happy. And if he's not happy there, if he feels like the relationship he has with the team and that city is sort of tainted by how it started, he might want. And also, I'm not even going to begin to say what it must be like to say no to $30 million, but my guess is that once you've gotten to those kind of numbers, the difference between $24 million and $30 million is not enough of a difference if you know you're not happy. And he might just know, I'm not happy and I'm not going to be happy here. I root for him. I don't really know much about him, but anybody whose career was really affected by catastrophic injury, I always just want that not to be the end for them, because there's so much. I tore my Achilles in college track. I am nowhere near an NBA player, but I was an athlete who the end of my career just wasn't, I didn't really get to ever hit my peak and then say, okay, this was my last chance and I gave it my best. I kind of, that was that. And so, I never want that for anybody else.
What do you think about James Harden wanting out of Houston? I mean, he said he wants to go to the Nets. A lot of people are saying that won't work because it's only one basketball. You know, Kyrie and him, they're all ball heavy, have the ball at all times. But I think if they did join together, I think they would fall back and let each other lead. That's my opinion. They wouldn't have a choice. But if they get on the same page, I think they would be unstoppable on offense.
I'm torn on that because, to your point, there is one ball, and this is a group of guys that none of them have been a first team all defense. All of them, I think, are in like the top five in terms of like touches, and there's a number of dynamics too that I'm curious about. Kevin Durant, like, did he take the criticism of being quote a cupcake and going to an already built franchise seriously? And if so, how does he feel about his tenure with the Nets being considered just another super team where you're grabbing stars to play alongside? Who takes the last shot in a game like that with a team like that? Defensively, is it a liability to have those three guys on the court if none of them is really dedicated? James Harden, like, can you picture Durant and Kyrie just watching him dribble 800 times while he's setting up his own shot? There's a lot to get to there where, like, at first you're like, oh, wow, that's amazing. And then afterwards you're like, it might be one of those all-time busts where you look at the talents and it just doesn't fit. And then also, I don't know what the hell the Nets would be getting out of that. There is – not the Nets, the Rockets. What are the Nets sending back for it to be worth giving up a superstar that they have moved mountains to move to create the team around, getting all the players he wants, getting rid of, like, you know, the dudes that he didn't want to play alongside so that they could lose him with multiple years left on his deal and not even get a massive amount back? I just think they have the leverage right now. This is not a situation where if he doesn't get moved, he's going to leave them high and dry. They have multiple years left.
Yeah, they do. And the Nets are mainly based on the trade around where Dinwiddie, LeVert, draft picks, they're not going to get a big fall for Harden working with the Nets. They're not.
So we'll see. I mean, I jokingly wrote in all caps when I first heard the rumor, like, do it for the content, because I'm like, the stories of the fragile psyches of those three in one place with a rookie head coach and Steve Nash, who already is stepping into a situation where Kyrie and Durant were on a podcast, like, I don't really know if you need a head coach. I think we can all sort of rotate. I'm like, oh, God. So, like, the content alone for someone who works in the business, I'm into that. But I don't know about the success of that.
Yeah, they had under 6 seconds times on the bench over there, so it's going to be up and down. It's definitely going to be up and down. So do you have an early favorite for the championship? Hopefully we get through the season with interruptions.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to tell right now. Obviously, I think the Lakers become the favorite to defend because when we last saw the league playing, that's who was on top. But again, the fast turnaround, a shortened season, weird scheduling where there's going to be more back-to-backs because of the way they're going to try to clump games together before more travel. That's going to affect how often veterans want to sit out. A lot of DNPs, I think, just for guys wanting to rest who aren't used to those back-to-backs anymore. And then I'm just, like I said when we started, I'm trying to catch up with who's where, who's coaching them, who's running that. And then these rookies that had to wait an inordinate amount of time to be drafted and see their dream realized now have three weeks to be like, all right, kid, get in there and see what happens.
Yeah.
So, this is just sort of a wild season in terms of having to recalibrate. And I also think there's a lot that we're going to want to take away from what happened in the bubble, and I don't know how much will be authentic to a regular season in arenas with travel. A lot of people talked about the sight lines in the bubble. A lot of people talked about the difference in having no home court, no travel. So, you know, are the Nuggets what we saw? You know, can they go off like that? Or was that an aberration? Are the Suns, who were, like, undefeated in the bubble and didn't make that cut, like, are they actually great? Or was that, again, you know, hot shooting? So, and then the Toronto Raptors are the Tampa Raptors. So what does it mean for them to, like, never be home for the whole season? I mean, that's wild.
Yeah, definitely. One team that won't be doing DNPs, I believe, are the Clippers, because we know what happened in the bubble. They had no chemistry. Right. Team had to bite them. They had a lot of in and out.
They won't do it as much, but they're still going to, because you still got some veteran dudes and guys with tread on the tires that are going to need it. But I think their approach is going to be a bit different.
Well, I could say they won't miss practices. Everybody be at practice. They might be some DMP, but they will get better practice for that chemistry.
That's right.
Definitely. Sarah, thank you for joining me. Happy to see again. You're available. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, it was super fun. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. The rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. See ya.
See ya. Yes, that was ESPN columnist, radio host, TV personality, Sarah Spain. Thanks for joining me. Catch you next time.